Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long. And on our talking text line, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. You can listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, thanks for joining us. And, man, you got a lot of content on the podcast for this week.
Yeah, right. There's no question about it. Yeah, and by the way, we just released the Leftovers podcast about the Atlanta Falcons-New Orleans game that I called over the weekend. So that just hit on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. You can find it on YouTube if you so desire to listen to, you know, kind of the breakdown of that game. But anyhow, thank you, man, for having me. I appreciate it.
Mark, before we get into Saints, news broke a little over an hour ago. John Harbaugh out in Baltimore. I told this to Charlie, and watching that game, whoever lost, you had a feeling they weren't going to be the head coach of either one of those two teams. The loser, he wasn't going to survive. I think sometimes you just run out of time, and, you know, it sort of maybe stale, but, man, you think about what Harbaugh did, 18 years, 180 wins in the regular season. Yeah. He wins you a title. Okay, you 13-11 in postseason. Bashotti better damn well get him a guy that's better than Harbaugh if you're going to run him off.
Yeah, you know, there's been reports coming out of there, and I don't know, you know, I mean, it's always where there's smoke, there's fire. So there's been reports about a little bit of dysfunction or a little bit of a headbutting between Harbaugh and the quarterback, Lamar Jackson. So I don't know what's true, what's not true, but it certainly seems like something went down this year. It was a little bit different. So I think all those things are, you know, probably on the table. And listen, John Harbaugh, I don't know if he'll take a year off. I don't know where he sits right now, but I guarantee you one thing. There's probably five teams that have called that, hey, man, you interested in come coaching our team right now? You know, so it'll be really interesting. New voice there with the Baltimore Ravens. But, man, what an unbelievable run. That's, you know, 180 games. That's 10 games a season that he's won while the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens on average. So, unbelievable run. Good for him. And we'll see what happens.
I hope Arthur Blank don't have his number, to be honest with you. I don't want to see him in Atlanta. In watching the Saints and, you know, the way the season ended, and I think for every team, when you're starting to rebuild, and that's what this team is in the rebuild stage, you're always looking for a couple tackles. You got them, okay? Kelvin Banks Jr., yeah. What he did at left tackle. I think Fuaga's right tackle spot, man, he's good there. You got you your pass rusher in Chase Young, and you got you your quarterback. And I think those are so big pieces of the puzzle when you're trying to get this together, and hopefully Eric McCoy can come back healthy because he gives you the man in the middle at center. You've done a number of the Saints games, and watching him at the end, what he was able to do with this almost looked like a preseason game with the offensive weapons around him and what he had up front to protect him. You can't come away and not be impressed with Tyler Shuck.
No, well, there's no question about that. And then, you know, you talk about the, like, it was like, you know, being kids in the neighborhood and trying to drum up a Nerf football game. Like, you're just knocking on doors going, anybody want to come play with us? We're going to play Nerf football. You know, I mean, it was like the guys they had. And it was funny because, you know, he had missed a couple of throws. To the kid. Oh, gosh, what was his name? I flushed the names right when I'm done.
Kevin Austin. The game,
but. Yeah, no, but it was the other kid, number 85. Was it Bell or whatever the kid?
Yeah, Ronnie Bell.
Yeah, Ronnie Bell. And then he missed a couple of throws, and just you know, I mentioned on the broadcast, time on task. And then he hits him late in that game after he had missed two or three of them. Perfect throw. He played his butt off, man. That quarterback is legit, you know. And I understand that. You know, they got into the interception late in that game. Great defensive play, and tip your cap to D. Alford for making that play. But yeah, you've solved it. Now you need to upgrade your offensive line. Your guard positions need to be upgraded. I think Fortin did a pretty good job. You got to figure out what your running back situation is, and all that. But man, I'm really impressed with what what Tyler Shuck has become. And like I said to you guys on many different occasions, he is no question the best quarterback out of this last draft class, and it's not close, I don't believe. And then I'm really impressed with Kellen Moore. Even though he's a Boise State guy, I'm still very – I have a lot of respect for what he was able to accomplish, and I love the direction that Mickey Loomis and the rest of the people, Randy Mueller and all those guys over there, the direction they're taking that franchise in. They're doing it the right way. They're going to build it, you know, the right way, and it certainly looks like they found their QB.
Mark, because there are some moments in a game you say, oh, Juwan Johnson at tight end. He'll drop an easy pass, or, you know, he had to fumble against Atlanta, and then he makes an unbelievable catch. You see, you know, he's in the top seven or eight of the tight ends and receptions and yards and everything else. Your thoughts on Juwan Johnson and seeing him as he's maturing in this league, going from being what you want to call a big receiver to now sort of a flex tight end?
Yeah, and I'm a big Juwan guy. Like, I think he's done a phenomenal job transitioning, and he's not, you know, a trained killer out there blocking people, but he's a willing participant. Like, he's not afraid to mix it up and get in there. And, you know, and he's, from a receiving standpoint, you know, I know a lot of people are in love with Kyle Pitts, but I wouldn't spend money on Kyle Pitts. I think Juwan does a much better job in the blocking game, and he's a dynamic receiver. And so I really like what he has become, you know, and there's been work there as a, you know, undrafted free agent out of Oregon wide receiver. It took years of transitioning, you know, years of working on a skill set. And I'm really impressed with him. And, you know, he was the only kind of go-to guy they had on that offense because everybody else was coming off the practice squad. So, I'm impressed with what he's been able the way he's been able to progress in his career.
One of the best coaching jobs this year, and we didn't see it early, but boy, we saw it late, Brandon Staley. And not everybody's built for the big room to be the head coach, but man, how he's got this unit, and you know, there's a lot of other pieces he's got to add to the puzzle, but doing it with older players like a Cam Jordan, Davin Godshaw, Demario Davis, and then he's got all these rookies in Quincy Riley and Jonas Sanker and a second-year guy, certainly with Kool-Aid McKinstry. And, man, that defense played damn good down the stretch, Mark.
They certainly did. And it's funny because I talked to Brandon about it, you know, about getting another opportunity to be a head coach and what he's learned and, you know, all those things. And one of the things he said to me was, and I talked about it on the broadcast, is like, man, I really have become more demanding of my players. And, you know, I think when you first get that opportunity, you're trying to build relationships and you're trying to, you know, make it, you know, I want to be everybody's best friend or whatever. And man, he is not that way. He's like, man, I want guys to be held accountable. I want to challenge them. I want to demand a ton from them. And, you know, he did that. The other thing is he walks in there and the first conversation he has with Cam Jordan was Cam was like, hey, man, you know, they moved me inside last year and I don't want to play inside. That's not where I play. He goes, hey, man, I guarantee you're going to be outside. You're going to do the things that you do well. And look at what Cam Jordan did in year 15, 10 sacks or whatever he had. He was amazing. And then the complete player that Chase Young has become. Chase Young, you know, it was just not quite there. Like, he'd show flashes but lack consistency, lack the run game, you know, and a passion for the run game. Chase Young just, I mean, the way he played on Sunday, man, he was a dominant figure. And I'm just proud of that kid, you know, because he came in as such a highly touted guy, one rookie, you know, defensive rookie of the year, then the injury, the ACL, and he just really has taken some time to work and grow in confidence and all that stuff. And I think Brandon Staley really challenged him, and that's one of the reasons he grew and he became such a dominant player.
Inside of Calls with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Charlie?
Mark, it's actually a fun point. Before I get into the playoff preview, the stuff about Chase Young, I think I remember – we've been talking to you for a couple of years now. When Chase Young was on the 49ers, you had kind of highlighted in that playoff push that even despite the 49ers winning some games, that opposing offenses were scheming up to run straight at him and challenging him to stop the run game. And I think that's maybe one of the underrated things that he improved in this year, was that he wasn't a negative in rush defense. He was able to hold his own and really kind of attack the rushing game, on top of his excellent performance as far as 10 sacks and basically 12 games played as a pass rusher. So his evolution has been something to really behold, and I think it's money well spent. The Saints have him locked down for another 2 years at, I think, around 17 average annual value for a solid edge rusher like Chase Young. Once again, I think it's money well spent.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And he's, you know, I just gave him before the game, I saw him, and you know, just a big old hug. First off, the dude is ginormous,
right,
man. That dude is the predator. Like, I had forgotten how big he is. I'm like, son of a gun. You know, when he was playing with Washington and he tore his ACL, he and I have had, you know, several different encounters over the years, and I've just tried to help mentor him. And, you know, one of the things I told him when he was coming back from the ACL is, you know, when you're injured like that, you've got to reestablish your new 100%. And it may be 80% of what you used to be, but you've got to be able to go, that's my new 100%, and it's plenty good enough to go out here and whip ass. And you've got to be able to mentally get over that hurdle. And so we're talking about that, and he goes, dude, like 100% right. But he goes, man, I got to tell you, finally, I feel like mentally I've overcome it, and I don't think about it anymore. And I'm not, you know, and so it's cool to watch a kid mature like that. And then to be a dominant player and to get challenged by Staley to say, hey, man, you know what, there is more to your game and you don't even realize it. And then to challenge him and to push him in that direction, I thought it's just really cool to watch. And like I said, Sunday, man, that dude was a dominant performer, dominant.
Mark, you were one of two people that told me in August, watch out for the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. You and Pete Jenkins. Pete had went work with their defensive line. And your thoughts this weekend, Buffalo Jaguars. And, man, if I'm Buffalo, you know, finally I don't have to face Mahomes, okay? He's not there anymore. But then you got the young kids, okay, walking down the block for the first time, so to speak. And what a great job Leon Cohen's done. Your thoughts on Buffalo-Jacksonville?
Yeah, you know, I think this is probably, going into the playoffs, the worst Buffalo team that Josh Allen has taken in the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, the thing about them is they don't defend the run. Defensively, they've got some issues. They, you know, they've played down to the competition. You know, ultimately, too often, in my opinion, they just throw it to Josh Allen and go, hey, Superman, go win us a game. And you know what? He's capable of doing that. I think you're facing, in Jacksonville, the one team in the AFC right now is playing better than anybody else. It's playing the most complete football offensively, defensively, and special teams. And it's shown, man. In their last 4 or 5 weeks, they've been winning on an average of like 19 points a weekend. And they came here to Denver and put 34 on Denver and basically gave them a butt whipping here at home. And so, and that's a damn good defense here in Denver. So I think they're playing pretty much better than any team in the AFC right now. And, you know, it's just going to be, can Josh Allen hoist that team on his shoulders like he's done so many times before and lead them to a victory? If I'm a gambling man, and I'm not, but if I had to put money on it, I'd put money on Jacksonville to win this thing.
And if we see it, part three, Green Bay, Chicago. And, man, the first two games were terrific. If you don't have a dog in the match, so to speak, man, you love to watch those type games. And Caleb showed some magic there. And the Packers and all the buildup. And then they on a one-month losing streak now. And has kind of hit the skids since the injury to Micah Parsons. Your thought on the Saturday game between Green Bay and Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Green Bay, can you stop that running game of Chicago? Because that running game of Chicago is legit. And that, to me, is what they do. They do so well. You know, my big thing when you're talking about Caleb Williams is on schedule, I think Caleb Williams has been, you know, inconsistent at best. But off schedule and his ability to hold on to the ball and scramble around and do all those things, he's exceptional. And, man, I heard people talk about generational talent. And then I went and looked at, you know, film of him coming out of college. And I was like, eh, whatever, you know. But to watch him scramble around and make throws, I mean, he's big time that way. I think the biggest thing about the Chicago Bears is, you know, easier said than done. You got to shut down the run because that's what they do the best. And then you got to make Caleb Williams play quarterback in a traditional sense. If you start bringing pressure and try to heat him up and allow him to break contain and allow him to make people miss in the backfield, you're going to be in for a long day because that's when they go into scramble drill mode, and they're as good as anybody I've watched this year in scramble drill mode.
Mark, your thoughts on the Monday Night Football kind of cap off to Wild Card Weekend, the Texans at the Steelers. I saw some stats about how the Steelers are just incredible on Monday Night Football at home under Coach Tomlin, but this Texans defense, I mean, the Texans' real second half surge after a terrible start has maybe been a little bit underreported, but they're red hot entering the postseason. One thing I noticed is that, you know, people talk about how often do defenses try to kind of fool opposing offenses with different coverage looks or blitzing or different blitz packages, everything like that. The Texans have the guys on that defense to just line up the ball and just punch you in the mouth. And I think it's going to be a real fun matchup. You know, the Steelers are getting back DK Metcalf for this game after the suspension that almost, you know, forced them to miss the playoffs. Is that major of a suspension there? But the Texans defense is one of those units that I don't think really anyone in the AFC wants to see in the playoffs. Pittsburgh gets them first up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to play the Houston Texans. And you know, Will Anderson doesn't try to just win. He just tries to humiliate you. And they're violent. And then the guy probably nobody talks about, maybe one of the best players, he's one of the most undervalued, underrated players in football, is Danielle Hunter. That dude has 15 sacks and didn't get voted into the Pro Bowl. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? And that dude is incredible. Incredible. And so defensive front-wise, Toji Ai is unbelievably skilled and really just solid nose tackle that eats up blockers and allows their linebackers, Toa Toa and Alshire, to just run around and make tackles. Athletically, they are phenomenal. They are fast. They are violent. Their two corners are as good. I think if I was putting out the best tandem of corners in football, it would go to the Houston Texans. Lassiter has just been ridiculously good. And we know how good Stingley is as well. And then you throw in Petrie playing the nickel position, and that dude is a phenomenal football player. So I just think this defense, they don't have to try to trick you. They just line up and say, come get a taste. Like, you good enough? And they're damn good. Them and the Seattle Seahawks are playing phenomenal defense right now. So I think the Houston Texans in the AFC, quite frankly, are probably the one team that nobody might admit it, but everybody sits there and thinks, man, I'd like to be able to avoid those guys going forward.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. You did a great job covering the NFL during the regular season, but, man, that's something special. You know, when you hit, you know, the first round of playoffs, and then the second round is normally where you get some unbelievable games. But you and Chris Myers, Jim, y'all did a great job covering the NFL this year, and really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys, man. Take care. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Mark.
All righty. That was our Odyssey NFL Insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark is also the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He told you he's got a little bit of bleed over from Saints Falcons, and you can download that now if you want to listen to it. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.